And we're live, but no one knows it yet. So welcome to Comas de Sas. It is October 18th. I don't know what number this is. I don't know what anything's going on after that episode. That was an amazing end of a season. Rob's here with me. I probably should introduce him. I don't know what's going on.
I am here, and I agree. That was exactly like the perfect ending to season one. The only difference is we knew for sure we were going to see what happens next. Now we're left on the edge of our seats wondering what the hell's going on.
Yeah, it's because season one, we had to wait a few weeks to find out they were going to renew, but of course it was going to be renewed because that show was doing so well. This time I have no idea if it's going to do well enough to get renewed, but creatively, after coming off that last 10 minutes, and also the whole Ultima Lucha series of shows, this was some of the strongest work they've done in the entire series.
Oh yeah, this entire run, the four part, just nonstop. I thought this part actually tonight, I thought this was just amazing. Out of all the Ultima Lucha final episodes they've done, like 2-hour specials, this was definitely the best one yet.
Yeah, it was. I was concerned if what they were going to do with only having 3 matches, or really everyone knew they were going to 4, but they gave them plenty of time, and I think they still had to cut stuff out because I know they cut stuff out of the. 3-way match, and I can't remember the other stuff, but even with that, there was so much incredible wrestling action on this entire show.
Yeah, I thought we'll get into match by match, but I thought the Puma versus Mundo match was probably my favorite match in Lucha Underground history, and maybe even the best match in Lucha Underground history.
Yeah, I think that one's going to flow better without the mid-match commercial break. That was odd, but it was... But they did in a way where they cleared out all the interference and they went for a while longer before the finish. And even everything before that with the incredible double springboard shooting star press was just amazing.
The commercial in the middle surprised me because you never see them go to commercial in the middle of a match.
Yeah. You kind of almost wish they broke out some of the vignettes at the end so they would have more stuff to break out more commercial breaks in between matches or something. But it's still... But then having all those things at the end made just one incredible little stinger for each storyline that one after another made a little incredible end. So I'm not sure I would have changed it all that much.
And even as incredible as all that was, I mean, I have a feeling, I'm not on Twitter right now, but I got to think everybody who watched that is talking about the final 5 minutes. I mean, we saw storylines get wrapped up. We saw storylines get like that entire 5 minutes. I still can't, I want to rewatch it. I have no way to do it right now, but I would love to rewatch it.
Yeah, I'm sure. This might be one where I just go buy it again on iTunes or on Amazon just to see in HD, see if I can pick up anything else. It was...
Where do we even begin at this point?
Yeah, I guess we begin with the cage match, which was Dragon Azteca versus Matanza. See,
feels like 5 hours ago.
I told you before your show that that was not one of my favorite matches from Ultima Lucha. And while you were watching your show, you thought it was pretty cool. But I think compared to what happened afterwards, you can see why it didn't stick out as much for me.
Yeah, I can definitely see it. When you told me that not to get, because I was, when you were, we were going over the list of matches, I was so excited for that match. And you're like, well, you were trying to rein me in as to not get my hopes up. That was literally the first spot of the entire show tonight was a moonsault off the top of the cage. Like, how incredible was that?
And it was really smart too because they did the moonsault. They did the move off the top of the cage to start. So then you weren't waiting the whole match for that to come. So when Black Lotus did it later, that came as a big surprise because you weren't waiting for a top of the cage move.
Yeah. Even the spot where they went through the cage was great. It was basically like Horace did a running somersault plunge out of nowhere, but he had the cage in his way, so he just took the cage with him. It was incredible. I thought these guys had great chemistry working together. Cobb was throwing him around like crazy. The restart was fine by me. It allowed them to stretch it out by doing the brawling on the outside. And I totally didn't see it because, honestly, I can't even remember. When was the last time we saw Black Lotus? Was it the Pentagon match?
Yeah, it was the Pentagon match. She has not been back since. So I feel like that's another one where we probably could use like a vignette to explain what her thinking was or really tease her being involved somehow because the whole storyline had not been talked about except briefly in the introduction segment, in the flashback stuff that they start to show. But it kind of fit with the other characters. So it like at least made sense for her to be involved.
Yeah, and they got Dario involved in this too. He got ripped up. I mean, it's a if you want to pick anything out of this negative, you would pick the fact that for the umpteenth time, Dragon Azteca loses again, so he's kind of been made into nothing. But that's besides the point, because it was just, I mean, I'm happy they put over Matanzas so strong, and they got Black Lotus, and this is the first thing they did that sets up something for the future season, because Dario kept, when Black Lotus interfered, she grabbed Dario, and she kept screaming, you're lying, and I wonder how many people actually remember what he's lying about.
Yeah, I think that's one where really they need to give a lot, they need to make sure Stryker was prepped to talk about what he was lying about, and usually they're pretty good about that, but they did not come through as well on that one.
I was going to lose my mind when I saw that she powerbombed Matanza. I'm like, they're not really going to have Matanza laid out by this girl. And then thankfully, they had him kill her with that amazing choke slam into the Tour of the Islands. That was just, what an awesome spot. And we may never see her again.
Yeah. Well, she may be pregnant. She may have the baby and then be ready to come back by the time they start filming one. And they're up. They're taking their time. That's a plan. It's not that they're going slow. It's not like they haven't got this resolved. It's that they just have to plan it so Black Lotus is going to be back around. So she can show up for 3 episodes and then disappear for 20 again.
That's true.
Yeah, the highlight of that match live was they spent like about 5 minutes trying to figure out exactly where to tape down the mat where Dragon Azteca was getting it drilled out of the cage. And they had it set up perfectly because it landed right on the extra mat they put on. I'm not sure how much an extra like inch of black mat does for you, but I'm sure you appreciated it.
I mean, he got whipped into the cage, press slammed, like thrown right into it. I'm sure that hurt like a bitch. So
yeah,
if he can take that, I think he's okay falling onto a mat on the floor. That's his performance was really good here. I mean, I don't know what the future holds for him because, like I said, he keeps losing at everything.
Yeah,
but that was really. It was a good performance, and Matanza looked great. And I don't want to say I don't want to talk about the future yet because I'm sure we'll talk about the future when we talk about the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, the second match was the three-way match for the Gauntlet of the Gods. That's another one. That's the one where I'm sure it went longer in person because I had not seen Olaf Sami Callihan on the Indies at that point because I was not going to a lot of AEW shows, so him doing the bowling ball sentons in the corners, in this case it was on the outside, stuck out to me, and so then when he did not do in the match, I remember that. But they did show a lot of stuff that they did. The table spot, both table spots were crazy. The sticks in the ad was stuck out as like the craziest spot on most shows, but this is one, on this match alone, we had a glass show up, but it was just all sorts of just extreme violence and Cage being an incredible athlete.
Yeah, I mean, I can fully admit on this show, right, that like there's no legal way to watch Lucha Underground here in Canada.
Yeah.
So I had to watch it via illegal means on the internet. And that stick spot, I think they're called skewers, that was the spot that had everybody in the chat window going crazy when they were watching that. Like that got over so huge because obviously, nobody would have ever seen that unless you're really hardcore and you follow the smaller companies that do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff here where I think people, not just the wrestlers, but the kind of stuff people would do in a wrestling match elsewhere, I think people got exposed to for the first time by seeing them in Lucha Underground. If you're used to just watching WWE stuff, this is kind of an extreme shift in style at times.
You could say that again. Yeah, I don't think we're ever going to see the skewer spot on a WWE show.
Yeah.
But like you said, the table spot, especially the suplex to the table spot was absolutely nasty. They were coming down with so much force. It was Sammy who was coming down, but Mil Muertes had to lie there and take it. That was crazy.
Yeah. And that's another thing they did really good. They teased it back and forth about who was going to do what. So they built up anticipation for it to finally happen. And then when it did, it just delivered huge.
Right. And did they give that away in the preview clip? Because I didn't watch the preview clip.
They gave the Dragon Azteca going to the cage in the preview clip.
Okay. Because I'm pretty sure they sent a picture where Muertes was lying on the table. Because I know I saw something to do with that spot, but I didn't see the entire thing. The only thing I would nitpick is just that like they did the two crazy spots in that match was that, and then when they brought out the glass and Mil Muertes speared himself through it, which cut up his arm and looked amazing. But like after each spot, they cut to a crowd shot. And then when they came back, they were moving on. They were like back in a different spot, like entering the ring or doing something else. I thought they could give them a little extra time for all that to sink in, because dude went through glass. Did you see what his arm looked like?
Yeah, that was, it was complete, that was messed up.
His elbow too, like just all cut up.
I think that's another thing where they just edited out the time in between it, because he did not get up. I don't think he got up that quick live. It was not like he took the glass and then he just came back, if I remember right.
But you could tell, even watching on TV, you could tell that. Yeah.
So that was, I wish they would have gone a little bit longer after the elimination, just to make the cage, Mil Muertes stuff stand out more. But I think they did so much before that was still an incredible match.
I loved it. Just it was perfect, especially to wrap up, or for now wrap up that feud. Everybody did a great job, and the finish was really good. I mean, everybody gets to move on from this. I would think so, right?
Yeah, because obviously if they're going, we'll just assume they're going on, because it'll be tough to say if they're going on every time. Cuerno and Muertes are back at it again, and Crane looked like looking Crane versus Phoenix. And as two people have watched a lot of AEW in the last year and a half, that's a funny thing that they're going to. Someone else had that idea too, but I really liked how they did the Cuerno thing, because they made you think that the segment was over and Mil Muertes was safe. I just thought they were turning the light down for effect for Muertes' pose, but to have Cuerno use it to run in and attack him was pretty neat. I think they probably meant to get the lights back up, and they couldn't, and that's why Stryker was going out of his way to make sure we knew it was Cuerno and not somebody else, Mysterious. But I think that was a big, impactful way to bring him back after a season.
Oh, yeah, that was crazy. I read spoilers, but I totally forgot that was coming. When the lights went out, I'm like, oh, this is going to be cool. They're going to do a special effect. And then when he got kicked, I didn't even realize it was Cuerno at first. And then I'm like, holy shit, because we haven't seen him the entire season. That was just the perfect return. He laid him out. Like, I don't know. I thought that couldn't have gotten any better. And then he slammed Katrina. So just amazing. Like, that whole return, I mean, Cuerno should be a star just based off that return, because it made such a big impact.
Yeah. I think he's a guy who's going to have big possibilities if they come back for another season, because everyone is okay with him compared to other people. So
that's true. He's in the best position, actually.
Yeah. The next thing was the main event of the show, which was Tiger's documentary on Johnny Mundo.
Your favorite thing, I know.
That was so happy. This is a show. You know, I watch so many certain promotions, AAA and CML, where detail work is not really done. This is a show where, after teasing it for a whole season, they pay off Tiger's documentary. Among other things, they paid off in the last hour of the show. And it was over-the-top goofy, which is exactly what it should be. And it also used the shots that Tiger was actually taking, or like simulation, whatever, close enough, that it made it feel like they had a plan the whole way through, and they were actually able to follow through on it, and they actually care enough to follow through about it. And that's what I liked the most. But also, that it was funny and entertaining, exactly the kind of video you think Tiger would make about Johnny Mundo. So this was a good, fun break in between a lot of big matches.
Oh, yeah. I was totally not doing this podcast if they didn't show the sword thing with Daga and the Tiger documentary, because you were going to be insufferable if they didn't follow up on any of those two things. I knew that.
Yeah.
I thought this thing was hilarious. It was just the Jack thing, because Jack couldn't talk, so he was writing down this thing. I was laughing so much at that, and I don't know. Ricky Mandel cracks me up.
Yeah, he's been a good addition to his role. The Jack using his name, the Jack using the board as his name has been a great way to get around him not being able to talk. It's almost like I kind of wish he keeps on doing it, even if he can talk, because it was a good comic prop. But all those guys, I think, played their roles pretty well. I think they were very good assets to Johnny Mundo as his gang.
See, I always thought, as soon as they introduced this during the middle of the season when they were showing her filming stuff, I thought that it was all going to build to where she was recording and she caught something she wasn't supposed to see.
Right.
I didn't think it would lead to this ending here, which is fine. I mean, it was great. It set up the next match perfectly.
Yeah. That takes us to Johnny Mundo versus Prince Puma, with Mundo Sal versus Prince Puma's career. This is a match that, like, was it like 4 minutes in, Prince Puma does a double springboard shooting star press to the floor, and it just keeps going from there. Do you want to talk about that move?
Well, I mean, we don't even need to talk. It's one of the most incredible things I have ever seen. And I watch a lot of professional wrestling. One of the most incredible things I've ever seen. And when you talk about the coincidence when it comes to timing, because like this was taped so freaking long ago. When was this taped? Like April?
June.
So June last year, okay? And it's funny because the move that he did, the double springboard shooting star press, is kind of, but not, I mean, it's the exact same springboard setup that Flip Gordon did on his dive on the ROH show this past Sunday. Mm-hmm. And in the chat window, they were saying, oh, he just copied what Flip Gordon did. I have to keep my head, no, how can he have copied it?
Yeah.
But it's just funny how those two things like line up. It's the same thing because the PWG Bola DVDs just came out. And on night one or night two, I forget, night one, Pentagon for the first time uses the package pile driver where he runs and bounces off the ropes. And what move did he use tonight to win the title?
The package pile driver off the ropes.
Exactly. So just like it's so coincidental, and it's just funny how it fits into now the timing and all that. But yeah, that spot when they were brawling up there, I was like, Johnny's gonna do some weird parkour shit or something, and all of a sudden Ricochet does that like leap of faith onto the apron. Just what was your reaction?
That was the leap to the from the guardrail to the apron was incredible athletic thing that just kind of went unnoticed because he did a crazier thing afterwards, and I could not believe that's what he was trying to do. I was, you know, if he just does like a normal dive, that's incredible from a double springboard. But to get through that all that and to turn to a shooting star for us was incredible. I think that may beat the one he did on Cage as the best one he's done on the show.
Yeah, definitely. Remember the one he did off the ring post to kick Cage?
Yeah, I think
that was incredible.
Yeah,
this one was way better. This was just amazing. And like you said, so early in the match, it's like, holy shit, how are they going to top that?
Yeah, and they kept the action going. I was not thrilled for a rough bump, but I think that the guys running in were pretty amusing, and they let Ricochet just let Puma keep kicking out. And then setting up for Angelico's big return was pretty cool, too.
Everything. Yeah, I didn't expect Angelico to be back. I thought the run-ins were perfect. It fit into the match just amazing. The crowd was reacting to everything. It kept going up and up and up and up until the end when it peaked. I can't say enough great things about this match.
Yeah. Angelico looked great. I retweeted someone else said this. It's so bad. It's so too bad that he got hurt the couple times he did, because I think he would have really gotten a lot of success if he had been on the show for a longer stretch and really hadn't since the end of season one. But at least he got the big moment at the end, and he's another guy they obviously want to do a big Angelico versus Worldwide Underground thing because they've started at least twice. So if we get a season four, then I think that would be set up some really good matches.
It's funny because he's so memorable when you talk about Lucha Underground because of the jumps that he did from the balcony, three different jumps, actually. But when you look back on it and you actually count the matches, I mean, he was barely around during these final two seasons.
Yeah, it was like when he got hurt was before even Aztec War for this year. So that was another 20-some episodes he missed. And it's just kind of
on Ultima Lucha, last year's Ultima Lucha, he made a big return too.
Yeah. So
2 years ago.
Hopefully he does not make the tradition of making another big Ultima Lucha 4 return and he's just around the whole time. That'd be nice.
But the crowd, the crowd loved him. All his spots were amazing. And him running off. What did they run into? Did they break the camera they ran into?
I think they ran into a camera, but I don't remember. I had to check my notes.
When he was chasing Jack, they like ran into the camera. You could see, and the camera like shook. And I can't tell if that was like an automatic camera, like a robotic camera, or if it was one of the guys they ran into who was holding the camera.
I think it might have been one of the guys, but it's so long ago at this point. I remember Jack Evans just being generally hilarious the whole time.
He spoke.
Yes, he spoke. It was a big progression that he finally got his mouth working and he made sure to make use of it. I think that run-in lasted longer lives. I remember him talking more live, but he was very amusing.
And once they cleared everybody out, they went to basically the second half of the match after the commercial break with like incredible near falls. The moonlight drive off the top rope. That spot where he went for the end of the mundo, missed it, and then right away transitioned right back into it. I thought that was an amazing spot.
Yeah, the camera angle they had on the top of moonlight drive was really awesome, and. Mm-hmm. And Mundo, they were nailing each other stuff. I didn't like the punches as much when they came back from the break, but everything after that was really, really good. And I think people went crazy for the finishes. I think people were just excited to see it, and they were not totally expecting him to win that match.
Oh yeah, the reaction in the chat window when I was watching it was like they were just waiting for Puma to lose. And then when he won, they're like, holy shit. And then they're like, oh, there's half an hour left. Something else has to be coming. There's no way he's going to leave his chip.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone knew that Puma was going to lose his career, but I think it's been so long, or people never knew in the first place, that they didn't exactly know which match it was going to lose his career in.
Right.
So the Dario thing was incredible live, because as soon as he came out, people started chanting Zero Medio because they knew this was time for Pentagon, and Pentagon was going to kill a fool.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought they were chanting like "Please don't go" or something, and they didn't want it to come up on TV. Okay.
No, as soon, because that's the only thing that people have been talking about all day is like, is Pentagon going to cash in somehow? And so as soon as they knew that there was another match to be made, everyone was making a hand signal and everyone was chanting. So you could hear it. It seemed like to me like they took a pause. They might have just been that Striker thing that we saw after their break that they were filming, and that's why Dario froze in his place. But the whole temple was chanting for Pentagon because they desperately wanted to see that match.
I mean, I knew he was going to come out because I read the spoilers and all that. But they set it up great. The only part that the thing that I forgot was when they come out and they set up the match, and then Dario says, "Oh, by the way, it's career versus career." Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. I thought it was just that only Puma's career was going to be online, because once they made it career versus career, I mean, even if you don't know that Puma's leaving, once they make career versus career, you kind of, even as a regular viewer, you look at that and you go, okay, Pentagon's got to be winning this.
Yeah, and I think they worked around the story that Puma was just over his hat and just had too many things stacked against him right now, with his arm getting broken moments into it. The trainer's arm, if I remember right, also got broken. But we just didn't get to see that. Because Pentagon was just, you know, destroying people left and right. Puma not only wrestled that great match with Mundo, but came back and wrestled a great match with Pentagon, where he could only use one arm for most of the match. It was just, he was asked to do so much in this 1 hour of the episode, and he really pulled it off well.
I mean, you got to work that contract off if you're leaving. They're going to make you do everything.
Yeah.
That was good when he taped his arm up. I was like, how are they going to get out of this, that he's going to have one arm the rest of the match, but he still has to do his stuff? But yeah. I thought it was fine. I mean, there was no story logic gap to me.
Yeah. He did his best never to use that arm in the match. And there was stuff like he probably would have gone for the springboard on the outside for the moonsault and couldn't. And Pentagon might have caught him because he couldn't get the ear he normally would have done. It was just a really exciting match, and I don't even know what to talk about. It felt like a little bit longer live than we got on TV, but I think it might have just been the emotion of the moment where everything was going like half speed because everything was so important. Everyone was crazy for Pentagon. Everyone was paying attention to the match, and then someone got up and got involved, and that was not the happiest thing for me.
Well, you know my thoughts on the guy. I mean, at least it was minimal. He just pulled Pentagon out of the way. I don't know why he had to get involved, why Pentagon needs help, but if this is the way they want to go, fine. This is the way they'll go. I thought that, honestly, did the crowd live turn on that? Because I would think the crowd live would turn on that.
I think they were so excited to have to have Pentagon win that they really didn't care about how it happened. It was clear as soon as I saw Vampiro stand up from the announce desk, I knew, oh yeah, he's going to screw Puma. At that point, season 3 had not really aired, so we had not seen him even being with Puma at that point, if you were just going to shows it live. So of course he was going to go to Pentagon's side. I think over the course of the TV show, over the course of the season, they did a good job of trying to sell the idea that Vampiro was generally behind Puma to make it seem like a turn, but I think that just experience it like how I did it. There was really, oh, of course he's going to turn on Puma. That's the only thing that makes sense here.
Yeah, I mean, Pentagon came off strong. I'll give them that. It's not, it wasn't one of these things where he just lucked into the title or anything. I thought he came off really strong. Plus, they gave him the time afterwards to talk. That's always good.
Yeah, they made sure that it wasn't actually Vampiro's interference that directly led to the pin, because Puma kicked out, and then Pentagon hit his move and got the win. What was the other thing that I liked? Oh, yeah, Stryker, and you could hear Stryker was just lost his mind on Vampiro and Vampiro to ordeal. And it came across really loud in person. It came across strongly on TV. It's to the point where, like, I'm not sure how Vampiro and Matt Stryker could be at the same announce desk for season four, but they've done that before, so maybe they'll find an excuse. But I thought it gave me hope that was the write-off for Vampiro as a color commentator, and he'll just be a person around the temple but not talking all the time.
I wish I could feel the same way, but I'm not sure. That's really low on the priority list right now as it is. But I will say one thing about this is I think it was about with 7 minutes left in this match or 7 minutes into the match, one or the other, where it clicked in me. And I want to know if it clicked in you at any point during the show that I'm like, this could be the last Lucha Underground match I'm ever watching.
Oh, yeah. I was once it started, I was going to make that comment before the Mundo Puma match as a joke, but... this is the way they go out, and at least they went out with a really strong match, but it could be the last match for sure.
And I also had a question for you. Am I misremembering? Did they do something else with Vampiro and Pentagon after this?
Or did it, or nothing?
I feel like something happened because I remember being really mad.
Just that Pentagon hugged Vampiro, which saw Vampiro put the belt on him. And that was pretty much it. Vampiro backed off while Pentagon did his promo, and it was a pretty great promo. It does the way they saw it, though. Then this is a part of the larger play is that Pentagon was turning heel, and he was this biggest bad guy possible. And everyone was loudly cheering for him as the biggest face possible, because they so desperately want Pentagon to finally get the big win. That was a big disconnect going on there.
And they got a really good shot of Puma walking into the smoke as he was exiting the temple there. And then we saw him go backstage. This was the added vignette, so I guess you would have not known that this was coming.
Yeah.
And he basically took off his mask, although we never saw his face, only the back of his head.
Yeah. And then he walked through
the curtain, and I'm presuming straight into hell, otherwise known as Orlando.
Yes, he's just waiting outside, sitting in his car for the next 90 days. As soon as they let him in, then he gets the show up and wrestle someone on the NXT show. I'm hoping we get the Ricochet versus Raul Mendoza match. That'll be fun, but I'm not sure.
Now hold on, let me ask you something, because did you think the same as me? Like after he walked out and they went through the curtain and everything, they panned back to the mask on the ground. I swear to God, I thought somebody was going to put their hand out, pick up the mask, and we were going to get somebody else playing Puma.
I thought that was going to be the last scene of the bunch of vignettes that we were going to mystery man. Like how, as playing off how Dragon Azteca got his mask kind of similarly at the end of season one. But maybe we're still heading there somehow, because they did leaving that mask there just leaves it open that someone else will be Prince Puma someday. Because the mask didn't leave, the guy under the mask left. But that was just one of the series of incredible stuff. They did this at the end of season one, and everyone loved it. And then they didn't do it at the end of season two, and everyone was disappointed. So I'm glad they brought it back.
Yes.
The King Cuerno, just the shot of him being in his treasure room with the gauntlet was pretty great. Someone, even though it will never, ever go anyplace ever again, I'm at least glad that they remembered they had the dangling plotline with Sexy Star and the Spider. I have no idea where it's going, and I don't really care, but it's nice that they remembered it. What was the other one?
Shit, I hope we never fucking see her again.
Yeah.
What did that girl say? She hasn't forgotten about you?
Yeah, she hasn't forgotten about you, so they were bringing some woman in to face him. Yeah, face her.
We'd love to forget about her, so let's just move on.
After that, they had
it was Phoenix kissing Melissa, right?
That was one of them. We'll go with that. Phoenix kissing Melissa, Katrina watching them and Krillin watching both of them. So that's like love rhombus. That's probably going on.
What's up with Katrina? She just wants every guy to be focused on her?
No, she said that she's been talking this season about how her true love wasn't Krillin, and Krillin thought it was Mertes, but back in season one, she had said something about how she wanted to be with Phoenix, but could not be with Phoenix. So assume that when she was hinting about her true love later on in the season, that she was still had something for Phoenix, as complicated as that is. So Mill's not going to be happy about that. We saw Mascari the Sagrada tell the Rabbit Tribe that he was going to take them to the White Rabbit, which
right, this was before the Phoenix thing, my bad.
Yeah. We saw Daga finally with the sword. We didn't see him dragging the sword, I will point out, as we saw in the trailer, but we did see him spinning the sword around his our hands, we thought. And the surprise here was that that
another murder.
Yeah, and the surprise was that he was still with Cobra Moon. And he was going to be her king, and he was replacing Pindar in the trios because Pindar is now dead and gets his head cut off.
Well, you don't know that.
Oh, I guess I do not know how the reptiles work. If he's a guy who has his brain elsewhere, not his head. People have said that before, so that's possible. But yeah,
that they look quite good. The visual, huh? With the head just dangling there, all bloody, cut off.
Yeah, that's close to the head getting exploded as far as the gorgeous visual and everything that happened with Dante Fox as the gorgeous visual of this season. But
this is where the special having good special effects pays off because it really did look like his head.
Yes, they did a great job of cutting the man's head off.
Yes. And Drago was there disgusted by all this.
Yeah. Yes. And he's still with them. So they're still building to him turning, and he's still with the tribe, but he's less happy about before. And then we saw Vampiro with his new master, who isn't Pentagon like we thought might be the case. But
I told you it was going to be a new character. I told you.
Yeah. I don't know who it's supposed to be because it was kept very mysterious and they might not know who it's supposed to be at this point.
Black Taurus.
Yes, that would be great. It's probably not Black Taurus in the big talking role.
But it'd be perfect.
It would be. I would like Black Taurus somehow running amok in the temple, but I don't think Black Taurus is going to be Vampiro's master. I just have this feeling. I don't know who's going to be, but it's probably somebody else.
It was a cool look. I'll give them that.
Someone in the chat room, which I'm actually paying attention to half the time, suggests that it might be Kevin Cross, and that would fit too, because it would have to be a bigger guy, and he could talk. So I didn't listen to the voice close enough, but I think it was modified anyway, so we probably don't know. Yeah, Kevin Cross has to fit here someplace, because we didn't see him in this episode at all.
Wouldn't that be funny if Kevin Cross was Vampiro's master? Oh my god.
Yeah, this is explained. All of Triple A's booking. Kevin Cross has been ordering Vampiro around. His power has lessened lately, but I mean, this explains everything that's happened in the first 6 months of the year.
Yeah, that's I'm surprised at two things. I'm surprised, number one, somebody's actually in the chat room listening to us in the first place.
Yeah.
And number two, that the storyline with Vampiro is actually now it's got me interested now that you threw out that theory.
And then the last one was the sass vignette of all, where Agent Winter said, "Oh yeah, we're gonna let you have a pass for not
getting." You missed one.
I missed one.
Which Natanza one? Natanza was locked up in the
thing,
and who shows up in the right across from him in the other cell?
Ray.
Yep.
Ray thought he was getting out of this contract, but they made sure that wasn't the case. He's locked in.
What does this mean, though? What last time we saw Ray, what happened? He was laid out, right?
Last time we saw him, Matanza carried him to the back of the temple after the match.
So Matanza's keeping him as his own plaything?
Probably. Of course, the problem is that, you know, Dario has the key, and Dario's occupied at the moment. It may not be letting either of them out. So there's an issue there. Matanza, so the last time we saw was Agent Winter. And I was very concerned when Agent Winter said that Dario was going to get a pass for letting go, for not getting the gauntlet, because usually those guys don't really give a pass. because, and then it made sense once Agent Winter just shot Dario in the chest for screwing up. The way they shot at first, where you couldn't see the shot, and they went to outside the window, I thought, well, maybe this is fake out, and maybe Dario's not actually being killed here. And then Dario was being killed, pretty much. The last thing we see of him is grabbing the red phone and trying to dial someone. He says the word Puma. He says things in Spanish that I didn't understand, and the captioning listed as things in Spanish. And then he passes out. They left it open enough that if someone got there quick enough, they could pretend someone got there quick enough to save him. But it also seemed like a way where they could, if for some reason Cueto was inside more than 3 seasons like Ricochet, that could have been the end of him too, for all we know.
Yeah, this kind of blew me away. I mean, I was expecting them to do something. Like, I never trusted this guy. And then when he was alone with Dario, I mean, I'd like to think in my mind that Dario's always one step ahead of these people. So he had some sort of, because he got shot point blank and was still okay enough to reach over to call the phone. So he must have known something was coming.
Yeah.
And I couldn't hear, like you. I knew something in Spanish. Honestly, at first, the voice sounded like Conan for some reason. But you said it didn't. It was much younger.
I thought that was a younger voice to me. I can't believe, I'd be shocked if Conan was actually back on the show.
Right, that's the other thing. But it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I can't imagine a Lucha Underground world without Dario, but he did get, I mean, the show has a lot of weird things going on, obviously, with superpowers and all that, but he got shot point blank. And I would love to know who he called, because we never even know, like, first of all, he needs to get some speed dial shit on that phone, because it took him way, he died in the time it took him to, like, that's a rotary phone.
Yes. He likes the old school things, but maybe that got him killed. So be a little bit modern.
That was such a sad ending, because anybody who watches this show loves Dario, even though he's a piece of shit.
Yes.
That it just to see him just get shot like that, I want to see him go out in like a blaze of glory with like guns firing and people have to, like 10 people have to kill him.
Yeah. Dario was never more evil than he was on the show. When he took back Dragon Azteca's win, when he cost Prince Puma his career by putting him in multiple matches and just putting him in matches until he was done, he kind of had this all coming to him. Because the one thing he was supposed to do, he didn't get done. But still, he's Dario. You have to forgive it all. He's too awesome.
He's Dario.
Yeah. On the short list of people who the show would not be the same of, he's way up there. So I hope this is not the end, but I hope this is not the end for all of us.
This can't be the after you can't, it should be illegal. They should throw everybody in jail if you air something like that in the last 5 minutes and don't offer any resolution.
Yeah.
I need to see, I don't even care if they bring them back just for like a quick, like a mini series wrap up, 3 or 4 episodes. I need to know what happens next.
Yeah. Or, you know, if the Joseph and Roach and whoever else just wanted to sell the scripts for season 4 on Patreon, I think we could all contribute, or on GoFundMe, we'd all pay, you know, $5. Throw it in. Tell us what was supposed to happen. We might be seeing matches, but we just really need to know what happened.
Definitely. I mean, what an ending. One thing I forgot to ask you during the show that I just remembered was, so when Huertas put on the glove and then he got kicked by Cuerno, right?
Yeah.
But when you have the glove on, aren't you like invincible? Shouldn't he be able to just like teleport or just grab his foot and like break it in half?
You're stronger than usual because Cage wasn't teleporting. And the punch is stronger than normal, but that doesn't mean you can't get hit. Because Cage was still getting hit while he had the glove on in that 3-way fight we saw.
Okay.
So it's not perfect logic, but but it's close enough for Lucha Underground.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like Katrina was in the match last week and you're like, why isn't she teleporting away instead of getting beat up here?
But
honestly, an amazing episode. One of the best they've ever done. And it just leads to a million questions on screen, but also it leads to a million questions off screen. Because like we just talked about how amazing that Daga thing was, but we haven't seen Daga. And like the real life word is that Daga can't come back. So what are they going to do?
Yeah, it's going to be... There's a whole bunch, even if they get a season 4 renewed, there's a whole bunch of questions about what they're going to do with everyone who's not around, if they're actually going to let them back. If that means if the AAA people will come back, if everyone's passports are all figured out, or visas are all figured out. There's a lot. The questions won't end if they get a renewal, but hopefully they get a renewal and then we'll get to you. And then we'll get to see what they do with all of it. Oh, Mari says he's coming back now. So that's nice. I hope there's something to come back. Because last week, after his hair match, was saying, thanks for being on, that was the end of my run, but that was really nice. So who knows what's going to happen.
But part of me, every time I read the story about how they might come back, but with a smaller budget, the lucha guy inside me likes hearing that, because if you come back with a smaller budget, you're probably going to focus a lot on the cheap Mexican talent, bring more of them in, because they're going to be the only ones that are going to sign up for something like that.
It's going to be the Yagre de Gloria guys are going to visit America.
In the back of my mind, I'm thinking, hey, this is going to be interesting. Maybe Pagano's going to end up being one of the masters on the show. You know, they're going to get anyone they can that's willing to work for cheap and just wants to be on TV. It would be, it'll be like a alternate dimension, Lucha Underground in season 4.
Yeah, I think that's probably what we're going, that Lucha Underground 4 is not going to look like 3 a lot or 201, but I'd still like to see it.
Even if they can get some of these guys, at least for an episode or 2 or 3, just to wrap up their stories at least, that would be nice.
Yeah, just whatever, we want more. That's the one thinking. There were points during the season where I was just kind of counting down the episodes, and I was like, okay, let's just get this over with. At this point, I really want, like, I want this 40 season to be a 50 season or something.
I want my Angelico versus Jack match that they've been teasing for so long.
Yeah.
And just aren't delivering.
They actually did it when they were both technicals in the first season, and that was pretty good. So I wonder, want to see what they'll do now.
They never did Angelico
versus Jack. Oh, no, I'm thinking Angelico versus Mundo. Angelico Jack, they never did. You're right.
Yeah, Angelico Mundo was great. I remember that. That's still one of my favorite Lucha Underground matches. If we had to, now that it's possibly over, if we had to make like a top 10 list, that match is definitely in my top 10. And the match tonight with, I mean, when people talk about the best Lucha Underground matches, which people were just talking about after the Killshot versus Dante Fox match, for me, that's not my top. My top one is still Grave Consequences. And I think that the Phoenix versus Muertes has Grave Consequences.
Yeah.
And I think number 2 is definitely tonight, Mundo versus Puma.
I wouldn't put that high, but it's very much up there for me. Okay. What you guys did not see, but we saw live, is after Pentagon left. After Paramount did that promo, he left, and Prince Puma came back. And Prince Puma, still selling the arm, did a goodbye speech, saying farewell, everyone, thanking everyone, acting as if his last show. And then everybody in the back came out and hugged him as if he was going to hug them goodbye, even though they were pretending. It was very clearly the end of Prince Puma's run on there, but they were also very careful not to use the language to say that he's definitely going anywhere. But anyone who was there knew that, got the 100% impression that Prince Puma, Ricochet, whatever you want to call him, was done with Lucha Underground and was obviously going to WWE as soon as his contract came up. And that was June last year. And this is October this year. And for the interesting 16 months, every month we get a rumor, is Ricochet actually going to WWE, or is he staying with Lucha Underground? Like, this is a ongoing discussion of an ongoing debate about what he's going to do. When, if you've talked to a single person who was in the building that night, every single person knew he was going to WWE as soon as this no compete came up. It was just ludicrous for the last year how people were debating if this, what was going on. Maybe he's going to New Japan, maybe he's doing this other thing. He's obviously going to WWE, and he's been planning going to WWE for a long time. Probably was planning on going to WWE maybe even as long as Ultimo Lucha 2, because in retrospect, it makes sense that Ray beat Puma if Puma was not going to stick around. If Puma had not given the indication that it was going to stick around. It's the thing that bugged me about wrestling news for the last year, is that pretending was an ongoing discussion, where I would even bet that Puma and Lucha Underground haven't talked about contracts since that point, that because they obviously spent this year building to writing Puma out. So they knew that Puma wasn't going to stick around, and that the only thing they probably talked about telling him he can't be on the New Japan US shows or other things like that. But this is a done and dead issue for a year that people pretended was something that was actually ongoing. It was just kind of, I found it ludicrous.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, there's nothing else to say. I mean, he's going to WWE, first chance he gets, probably by January, I would think.
Yeah, the January NXT, I would assume. I would assume that he's going to be on it if they want him to be on it. It sounds like he's going to go to Dragon Gate before then, if judging by the Dragon Gate teasers. But
yeah,
and because he worked Dragon Gate before he went to New Japan, he'll probably go back to Dragon Gate to say goodbye. But he's, this is like, I don't know why people are even debating this. If people, this is one of the things where if you just ask someone, you would have had the answer, but no one really asked anyone. So that was just, that was crazy. The other thing crazy is that it's season three, and we're just now getting to Pentagon being champion, and that's like a season and a half at least too late. I think the story of Lucha Underground, one of the stories of Lucha Underground is that the buzz moves really quickly, and the buzz moved on from Lucha Underground sometime in season two, depending on for different people, different times. But they had something really hot in Pentagon, and you could tell the people in the crowd when it was June and was still just the end of season two, they were just going nuts for him. And if you go see him on an indie show, people still are going nuts for him. But they had something on the show with him, and they could have taken better advantage of it if they put the title on him. I think Lucha Underground thought that they had more time than they did, and they had a longer leadway. But I think that's the lesson of 2017 or 2016 or whenever this hell thing was taped, is that you have to move on things quick because there are too many distractions. Things can get away from you, and you don't know if you'll have the opportunity or if people will be as big of a deal. I think Lucha Underground thought they had two full seasons to build to this point, and I think a lot of people wanted to see them put Pentagon have the win over Tons at Ultimo Lucha 2. I think he probably should have won the belt at Aztec War for 2 all the way back then. And Matanza should have been on a different track to build up to a title. I think Matanza matches were good, but I think Matanza being champion took away from the guys that people were invested in and having that long run and squat and beating everyone, especially squashing Phoenix and Pentagon the first couple weeks, probably really hurt the momentum of the show. And that's one thing that I think I would really wish they would redo if they had another chance to do it.
I agree. If you can make a hope for season four, if they do a season four, I don't want them to get sidetracked with Pentagon again, because every season so far he's been sidetracked in a feud that he really shouldn't be in just to kill time. They need to just go with him. I'd love to see him as just a strong champion who just beats people, because this, I think Casey said this over on one of the message forums, that they should be Pentagon's temple. That's his place to rule, and people should be coming after him.
Yeah, you can tell that's the set people wanted by the end of the episode. This Prince Puma was the greatest hero possible, and people were just all over cheering for Pentagon. And it could have been that way for another 50-some episodes, and they thought they had more of a chance. I think they knew what they had in Pentagon, but I think they thought they had more chance to get to it than they did. And by waiting as long as they did, then it didn't turn out so great.
Yep. I mean, they could be, when we talk about stuff that won't be brought back, I mean, we're pretty confident that Sexy Star's not coming back, right?
That's what Eric Van Wagen said. He's out of contract. Who knows? I mean, I never count Sexy Star, but it doesn't sound like they were going to bring her back.
And that would open the door, because they're going to have to get some sort of new super babyface female empowerment character. So that opens the door to anybody, really.
Yeah. Hopefully. I mean, I wouldn't mind if they did more Mariposa or just gave her a new gimmick, since she's totally not worked out at all in that gimmick. But I think they probably want someone. I mean, it depends on how the Mexico politics work out, but someone for AAA, Shinai, or Fabio Apache, if Fabio Apache still exists in AAA at this point, or someone from The Crash, or somebody else. I think, or they just, anyone who they get, I think the upside is that they're probably going to be a better in-ring worker than Sexy Star, and they won't have the baggage that she has. She did have a fan base, but I think it's all, she kind of messed it up anyways, so I don't think they're going to lose anything by trying someone else in that spot.
I agree. That was a very unrealistic skit. People wanting her autograph and taking her pictures. Nobody wants that.
There was a point. She messed up, but she had a good thing. There were people, she had convinced that she was a cool person that you wanted to bring to your indie show to sign some autographs, and she kind of screwed that up tremendously for her for like 10 seconds of being happy.
Yep, I agree.
And then the third rant, Ricochet thing, the Pentagon thing. Third rant is, the show's got to be stopped being about Vampiro. The first season was built to Vampiro being revealed as Pentagon's master for 20 episodes. The second thing was all about Pentagon, about Vampiro mentoring Pentagon again. The third season was all about Vampiro mentoring Puma to set up for Pentagon again. It's going to be, it's they've got to focus on people who actually can deliver matches and are or more interesting in the roles than just doing Vampiro being an evil mastermind behind. You look elsewhere in the show, Daru is so much better at the evil mastermind, and Vampiro, his one match on the show, need severe editing to have a satisfying garbage match. There's no payoff to Vampiro, except you just really like doing stuff with Vampiro. And I could use, it'd be much better if there was someone who actually could deliver in the role than he can, because we know what we're getting from Vampiro, and it's not getting any better as he gets older.
I mean, I'm surprised you brought that up instead of me. Yeah. I was waiting to go into my own rant about it, but I 100% agree. Fuck Vampiro. Wait, he ruins every match running out there around ringside. I know that they can't even hide it in editing anymore. They just leave it. He's just running around like a fool in the background. I understand that the people in charge there like the guy, which is fine. Have him do his backstage agenting, whatever it is he does that puts together these matches. Have him be he's a good spokesman for the company. I'll give him that. He's very charismatic when they do these press tours and stuff. But he's just got to get off the screen. We've got to move forward at some point, because he's a very overpowering character. When he gets on TV, he overshadows everybody.
Yes.
I mean, that's not a good thing. You can't have characters like that around when you're trying to get your own characters over.
See, Daru is much better at making the other characters stand out when he's with them. With Vampiro, it's going to be more that the attention goes back to Vampiro, because Vampiro's a wrestler and Vampiro's mindset is to get himself over, and he does a great job of that, but that's not really the best thing for the show at times.
Right, and the thing is, he knows what he's doing. When he suggests these stories or these ideas, they benefit him in the end. I mean, he's a smart enough dude to realize how to manipulate all this. And I feel like in the first three seasons, he takes advantage of people who don't realize what he's doing. Like, he's the focus, plus he's the voice of the show. I mean, he gets to get over his stuff.
So yeah, you can tell the stuff that a lot during the show. You can tell, like, with any guy who's a booker and also an announcer, you can tell the stuff that he personally put himself into, or the creative, because he'll push the aspects of the story that he wants to get over way too strong and way too subtly, and those are points where he'll most argue with Stryker, because Stryker won't be doing exactly what he wants, so he'll just try to override him, and it's not the greatest, it's not the most subtle or best experience.
That was tonight when they started screaming at each other, right?
That was tonight. That was also parts of the Fox kill shot match, where he wanted to be more serious than Stryker was going to be at first. It's happened different times during the show. So it's like he's the voice in Stryker's ear, but he's also on the microphone telling Stryker what to say, but he also has his own microphone. So I don't know. I don't ultimately know what the future is from Vampiro, because everyone else seems like they want to work on the show who's on both sides of the split, and they're fine with everyone else working on the show. But Vampiro's the one where you'll see people take hidden shots and not so hidden shots on Twitter. Even people who are also working in sort of behind the scenes roles. So I think he might be the most divisive guy to bring back. And I don't know how that one's going to work out. The one thing about giving him his own master is that they could probably just cut Vampiro out and have whoever that master is work directly with Pentagon, so having Vampiro involved at all.
Right. I mean, I don't see that happening, but I mean, I think as long as Lucha Underground's around, I think Vamp's going to be around.
Yeah.
But hopefully, like you said, hopefully in a reduced role.
Yeah.
And if I could say the one thing that major thing that I'll take away from Lucha Underground is, we might not see it now, but a lot of things, whether Lucha Underground lasts, whether this is the last episode, whatever, is that in about, I'll give it 5 years minimum, that we're going to start seeing some of this stuff filter over onto WWE programming, because a lot of the stuff Lucha Underground did or is doing, if they continue, it's way it's a future of wrestling. And I think WWE will catch up eventually. They're not there right now. It might take, you know, Vince dying, you know, knock on wood, but it might take something like that for someone else to finally get a chance to put their own people into the production aspect and take some of these things and move it over. But definitely, like, these vignettes, I mean, these vignettes are amazing. This is the future. This is what everybody would want in their wrestling, I would think.
Yeah, there's the produce backstage skits, I think some of the, maybe not the storylines, but the characters, I think might, or stuff that might spill over to other places. I think you'll see, I think the idea of a studio show in the small studio, I think that's also be something that you might see other people try to do, just because I think the look of it would work well, and having the different areas of the temple where people could do different stuff and got familiar week after week. I think you'll probably try to see something, some sort of more, some just, this is an arena with a ring and we have some guardrails and some seats around it, some sort of more of a costumed designed space. I think people probably are going to try to do that. I know that Lucha Underground isn't the first promotion to do a studio wrestling show by any means, but I think that's the kind of smaller, more intimate feel that I think people are going to try to replicate. And there's also going to be people trying to find their own Dario Cuetos, which probably is not going to work as well, because I think Lucha Underground just struck gold with the one they got, but that wrestling people, if it's going to be wrestling first, it's they're probably going to cheap out on it, and you're going to get not the best actor and get someone who's available who's local and maybe not the best pick. And I think one of the advantages that Lucha Underground has that make it forgotten in the long run is that these are all three seasons taped in LA, where they had access to a lot of people, both in front of the camera and behind the camera, that they might not have gotten if they were shooting in Nashville, per se. So I think there's a lot of stuff that worked out for Lucha Underground, and it was, and I'm glad we got to see at least three seasons, even the three seasons is all we get to see.
Yeah, and another thing I'm going to miss with Lucha Underground is the chance for people who speak in a different language to actually speak in that language and be treated like regular people, because we don't see that anywhere else in wrestling. I mean, we see it in Japan when they let them talk in English, obviously. But in terms of North America, like, I mean, I guess I'm focusing just on WWE, but it's TNA too. I mean, you know, when Pentagon gets to come out here, I mean, Pentagon is a great promo. He's an amazing promo. But let's not kid ourselves. If Lucha Underground ends and he finds his way out to Orlando or even straight to WWE, it's not going to be the Pentagon we know. And I just wish somebody would take a hint from Lucha Underground. Like, you can be a good promo and not be speaking English. It's not about the words you're saying all the time. It's just about your delivery.
Yeah. Anyone can do a promo where they swear or they threaten a lot, but I think he figured out how to command the audience better than a lot of people who speak English and do promos all the time.
And wouldn't be surprised if Johnny Mundo, if the show ends, finds his way back into WWE at some point and perhaps takes this Lucha Underground character, obviously with a different name, but this same format of a character over there. And I think it might actually be a big hit, depending on if they let him have the creative freedom that he's apparently been allowed to have on this show, because his character on this show, I mean, that's definitely superstar potential.
Yeah. And the way that I don't see that can be easily replicated. I mean, I would love for him to get opportunities to go elsewhere, but it'd be tough to replicate exactly what they've done with him here elsewhere.
He's definitely one of the guys that, a lot of the guys too, but like him especially, he really seems to have like taken this project on as like something personal and really put all his effort and hard work into it.
Yeah. Is there anything else you want to say about the show? About, I know someone at Lucha Talk asked us about who you think Dario was calling, and I have no idea.
No, I mean, it was in Spanish, so you would presume it'd have to be some sort of Mexican. I don't know.
Well, he's from Spain, so it could be someone from Madrid calling. I'm not sure he could call long distance with how many numbers he pushed in. I'm not sure he could call out the building with how many numbers he put in. But
honestly, maybe his dad.
Yeah, Because I don't know that we know that his dad is dead.
He said his dad was dead, I think, but I don't think we...
But he's a liar. Dark admitted that he is a liar, so...
Right. And if you just got shot and you know you're dying and you've got the key around your neck for your little baby brother, mm-hmm. I mean, we know his mother's dead.
Obviously. Yes. That seems like a pretty safe bet. Right. But we don't know... Yeah, it could be his dad. I mean, that's also the way, if Dario's not coming back, is that they get out of it by whoever's on the other side of the phone takes over in this role.
You ready for me to blow, I'm going to blow your mind, Cubs. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Dario's dad shows up in season 4. And who is it?
Who is it?
Unmasked Dr. Wagner Jr.
That would be awesome. I'd be all for that.
He's the most interesting man on the earth.
That's the best idea you've had.
Thank you. They need to do that. I hope Krista Joseph is listening to this.
Yeah.
I just saved it. That idea is going to fund season 5 and 6.
Yeah, that's it. That's all we need. He just stays there and he takes selfies in between booking matches. It works great.
Can you imagine him sitting in Dario's old chair and just like ordering people around? I mean, that'd be amazing.
Yeah.
With his fur coat.
Yeah. Oh yeah, different outfit every day. It's going to be incredible. It's going to be bad news for Tejano. Probably good news for Famous B because they go back, but everyone else is in trouble.
If they don't go my route and they go a different route, do you think Dr. Wagner Jr. comes back in season 4 and loses his mask?
I don't think they do another quickie mask thing because I think that's got bad reaction. I think Dr. Wagner's too well known that they can't do a mask loss. They may do something where Famous B decides that he needs to be more marketable, so he unmasks them or something like that. I'm flashing back to the Jigsaw and Ring of Honor vignette where Jigsaw unmasked and something that was really stupid, and I hope it's better than that. But I think he probably just takes the mask off or he wrestles unmasked entirely. I don't think they do a mask match with him.
Well, we'll see. I don't suppose anybody from Lucha Underground is listening to this, but if by any chance they do at some point, I mean, thanks for all 3 seasons if this is the end. I mean, this show revolutionized wrestling as far as I'm concerned, especially current wrestling, and has been my favorite show to watch for the past couple of years. Every episode, obviously there's always things that we're not going to like Sexy Star or stuff like that. We're going to complain, but overall, this show has just been amazing. I mean, I'm going to be so sad now that there's nothing to watch come Wednesday.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do myself Wednesdays. I may have baseball off the watch, but that's not looking too promising. But it's just going to be a big hole until we know if it's back, and if it's not back, there's nothing else out there that's going to be quite replace it. I hope other places get TV. I hope there's more opportunities for people, but there's nothing going to be quite like this.
Yeah, I think that the show, and like you were tweeting about it earlier. Yeah, I can't. Everybody should read your tweets because it's nothing. I can't say it any better. But this show exposed the world to people who just needed that one little glimpse for people to finally realize who they are, and now they're on their way. Like you said, it'd be nice if there's. I mean, for all the Phoenix, for as good as Phoenix and Pentagon are, there's a whole bunch of people in Mexico who are maybe not as good, but they're close to as good. And they could totally use a show like this to keep going on so that they can filter over and get the exposure. And there's guys, it's not just Mexico. There's guys in the United States, too, who just need some sort of break. Somewhere where they can get paid good money, get themselves on TV. Even if the end goal is to eventually go to WWE, which it is for most people, that's fine. But this is a good stopgap, somewhere to work in between, somewhere where you can be creative, give your own ideas, and just something different. That's the most important thing. That's why I always got so mad, and I would go on these rants when like Lucha Underground would do like the heel GM thing or copy ideas straight out of WWE, because I watched Lucha Underground for an alternative. And this has been my alternative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's nice to have something as an alternative, because every other company that seems to start over the past 10 years just copies the WWE format, or eventually they start something new, but then they fall back into WWE. What do you call it?
They're like tropes.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. WWE tropes. So I'm glad that something came along that decided to be different. And I mean, everything we saw tonight in the 2 hours would never happen in WWE. Nothing we saw tonight would be in WWE.
Exactly. So I think, what else are we on? I see Crystal Fisher's in the chat, so that makes me think. Do you want to guess what the rating number this is, this gets? Do you want to just throw a number out there?
No, because I don't take those ratings seriously. Since they're so
yes, yes, but that's at the fun of it, just to pick a number and throw it out there and be completely wrong.
I say it'll be lower than last week.
I say it. I'm going to say higher. I'm going to say, because I see that Arrieta drew 111 pitches, so I'm going to go with 111. It's going to be 111 on the first run.
Okay, I'm going to go slightly lower than, just slightly though, lower than last week, because okay. It doesn't deserve that, but I feel like that would be an interesting talking point.
It's a complete, the thing we've learned with the rings is that, especially week to week, they matter not at all. They're completely random, completely over the place. If they build an episode for months, then they can do a number, and if they have some momentum, then maybe over months they'll go up, but the individual ones, they just don't mean anything, and it's such, I mean, this is a good thing. This is a glad thing. I don't want to watch. I don't follow WWE because everyone hyperventilating every time it goes up 0.1 or down 0.2 seems like a gigantic waste of time. So
WWE is falling back into that. There, as their ratings go down, it's going to be the same thing. The lower the rating gets, the less it matters whether it jumps a point or not.
Yeah.
So, while we've been talking, have you been on Twitter? Have there been any cryptic tweets from any of the talent?
It's been great during three seasons. I hope. We have a fourth season kind of tweets. Okay. You'll be so shocked.
She say anything?
We're going to say put up a clock. Thinking.
That's creative.
Yeah. You'll be shocked to know that in the time that we've been talking that the Crash announced yet another show.
Did they? That's good.
They're going to ring the nest at some point.
Oh, we saw that. That was before we came on the air.
Oh, I didn't see that before. Okay.
Hey, I saw that earlier.
What else?
If you start talking about Crash, CML, and AAA, everybody's going to leave the chat and not be listening to us.
Yeah, that's the thing I didn't want to say because it sounds like it sounds so negative, but I want to say goodbye to all the people who are only following me or this Twitter account or this podcast through Lucha Underground since I may never hear from you again. But I thought that would be a too negative way to go on Twitter. But I was kind of heading that way in the whole Twitter run of stuff I did earlier today.
And I want a special thanks to Tele Latino for giving me a chance to be like Marty McFly and go to the future for a couple times this season, getting to see the episodes ahead of time.
That was so messed up.
I am going to rewatch the episode tonight on Saturday in HD on TLN at 5 p.m. Perfect lead into the Maple Leafs game, 5 to 7 p.m. It's going to be amazing. And I'm guessing the episodes are going to keep running on TLN, even though, I mean, is Al Rey going to be, do we know if they're going to be repeating these or is it done?
They're going to Bushido Beatdown next in that time slot, and I don't know what happens there for those. They run eight of those, but I guess we'll see.
Because they own these episodes, right? Like, they can air them at will, or?
You know, they could, but they really, except for the hiatus, between in the middle of season three, they never really repeated them. So I'm not sure what the deal is, if they're just skanked or if they just don't want to.
And hopefully at some point, if this is the final ending, I hope we get like some sort of Blu-ray DVD release because I would, with like extra features and stuff. I mean, everybody who's into this would probably die for like a director's commentary on some episodes or even the, dare I say, Aerostar versus Pindar dark match. Anybody? Hands up?
No. Yes, no. I don't think you're getting them in season four. I don't think that match is happening.
You're bumming me out, man.
No, I need to retweet that because that match is happening this weekend. Is that right, or is that next? Is that later?
Well, that's happening Sunday. Sunday's the big day, big weekend of wrestling. I don't know if you're aware, but Canuck Pro debuts on Saturday.
Oh yeah, I'm waiting to. I'm definitely get the MP4 of that show.
Yeah, I am. I'm gonna replace Canuck Pro. Hopefully, the AEW show will be able that they just said will be able to be available by that point because I want to see Phoenix and Pentagon. And yeah, I mean, that's their new home. If there's no Lucha Underground, I guess AEW would be Phoenix and Pentagon's permanent home. All the Lucha Underground talent is in AEW now, aren't they?
Pretty much. Yeah, the one winner of Lucha Underground, one of the many winners of Lucha Underground never getting to act together on shows is AEW, who's pretty much run the temple in the Chicago area for the last 2 years. I mean, I want to give them credit for doing stuff on their own, and the guys that they were using besides Lucha Underground and would have used besides Lucha Underground, but they knew how to take advantage of the people on a popular TV show better than the popular TV show did.
Yep.
Not even popular, maybe buzzed about, but you get the idea.
And will Nightclaw return in season 4?
No. No. I'm going to hope so, but no. That would just ended it. If Nightclaw somehow popped up in the vignettes end of the show, then we just had to close everything down because that wouldn't have been beat. So I'm glad they didn't do that.
Or if Alberto popped up out of nowhere.
No. Alberto, then I just would have been sad because I didn't want to see Alberto.
He's still a missing person.
Yeah. He's going to stay that way because he's going back on Impact, so he'll stay kind of missing.
Oh, that's not nice. You know who would be great on this show, I would think, would be Garza Jr. If they could find imagine if he was like Dario's long lost brother or something like that. He would be amazing as a smug, cocky asshole.
Yeah, I guess I could see him as a Cueto family member.
I mean, we could fantasy book. We could be on here for another 2 hours fantasy booking, but we'll just see what happens. Hopefully they make a new announcement at some point, whether it's yes or no, because honestly, I would rather some finality instead of just sitting and wondering for the next 5-6 months.
Yeah. Van Wagon said it would be done this month, but even if it can't go that much longer, then I think people are just going to get upset. And I do wonder if they're not airing any episodes, those contracts can't go on forever. There has to be some sort of clause that if you're no episodes airing and nothing scheduled to be taped, then after a certain time, then everyone's just going to get free. If it'll be funny though, if the show gets canceled, that wouldn't be funny, but it'd be funny if Ricochet has been waiting all this long for his 90-day thing to end after the show stops airing, and then everyone's free, like maybe 45 days before that, because the show got canceled.
But who's the one person that if you randomly, like you go to sleep, you wake up the next day, you log on to Twitter to see what's going on. If you saw one Lucha Underground person and say that, okay, I'm signing with New Japan or something like that, that would be your sign that the show's over. Would it be Pentagon? Like if Pentagon just says, I'm signing with New Japan?
See, even New Japan, I'm not even sure, because Ricochet was working there in New Japan between Lucha Underground dates, and it seemed like it was going fairly decently, although less so as the show went on. But it sounds like Cobb is working New Japan sometime soon. I think if Pentagon or Phoenix did something that made it appear that they would not be able to come back for next season, I think that would be a sign that it's not coming back, just because those guys are critical of the show, but those guys are also guys who truly believe in the show. And I don't think they would abandon coming back to the show if there was still hope for it to come back. Mundo's the other one, because I think Mundo's been part of this from day one. And you can tell if he has reason enough to, if he really was upset with, Triple A, he had reason enough to leave. And if he didn't think Lucha Underground was coming back, he'd probably be out of that, and he'd probably give God his contract and go to Impact without them. But since he's still working with Triple A, that tells me a sign that he still has hope that Lucha Underground is going to be back in some way.
One of the interesting things tonight is with Dario getting shot. I mean, he's a real actor, so we could follow his career. And if he signed up to do another TV show, we could be like, well, there's a sign that Lucha Underground is done.
Yeah, but he's a real actor, but he's also a real actor who's probably a CRD name, where it'll be tough to find out if he's actually doing something else. Well, let's IMDb this while we're talking here.
But now that he's shot, I mean, he can really, really go wherever he wants if that is actually the end of him. So
yeah,
that's not even a sign. I would think definitely, like if the Joseph one day said, oh, by the way, I'm starting to work with TNA or something now, I think that would be a sign that like,
yeah, I didn't think about that.
That's not good.
I didn't think about the guys behind the scenes, but that's definitely a thing.
Yeah. Or like if Matt Stryker went back to WWE to do commentary. I'm just kidding, people.
No, that would be a sign that the show's getting better. Sorry. Sorry for the Stryker fans.
The West Coast version is going on right now.
Yeah. That must be tough. I felt bad for Cold Icon that his stream was not working and that he cannot watch the show.
Really?
Because you have to go like deep underground and stay far off Twitter and anything wrestling to stay away from this if you were interested in this.
somebody else was actually on Twitter was telling me that their stream wasn't working, and of all the people in the world, I actually troubleshooted their problem and got it working.
Well, that's unlikely.
So I can't believe that he couldn't figure it out.
Dario has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 things in completed or post-production or filming right now. He's a busy dude.
The life of an actor.
Yeah. I'm sure he's not getting paid a whole bunch of these shorts, but whatever he can do, get paid. That's a guy. Yeah. What if he showed up on WWE TV? If they made him like the 205 Live GM or something, that'd be the end.
I could totally see them doing that just out of spite.
Yes.
And they would probably, knowing how WWE operates, they would hire him and give him a non-speaking role.
Yeah. And they would try to teach him how to do his role right, because he wouldn't know how to do it the way they wanted to do it.
Lose the accent.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't see the prospects of a guy like Ricochet surviving in WWE. It's kind of watching tonight. You see the way his performance was and what he did, and he's going to end up over there. It makes me really sad.
It makes me sad. I hope that his talent is so much that he gets to overcome it, but I think his talent isn't so much better than Neville, and we've seen how that story's turned out. So,
oh my God, Neville's going to be Prince Puma too.
Yes, he's suddenly going to have a slightly different accent. They're still going to pretend he's from Mexico. He's Mexican who lives in Boyle Heights, but he just studied abroad for a semester or two and picked up a weird accent.
And Neville's going to have to get one amazing tan.
Yeah.
Well, it was fun. I enjoyed myself. Is anybody still listening to this?
Apparently, there's like 23 people now, which I don't really believe. There's people in the chat room, so I think they exist. But I think there's a lot of people who are expecting me to be posting their IWRG video, and they're getting something talking instead.
Oh, maybe it's porn bots.
Yeah. Is there any non-Lucha Underground stuff that we need to talk about? Is there anything coming up that we want to talk about?
Not really. Caristico versus Volador Friday, I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to watching. Are you going to watch the Powerbomb show on Sunday with Puma and Fly Warrior?
Yes, I'm definitely going to watch that. That sounds a lot more interesting than WWE show, and I think it goes on before too. But and the last Powerbomb show was pretty fun, I thought. So I'm looking forward to see there. Fly Warrior versus Jonathan Gresham sounds like a really interesting match. Jonathan Gresham is I don't like try to get involved in things as much as possible, much of people's frustrations, but Gresham is a guy I really wanted to see back in Mexico. And if he can't come back to Mexico, then seeing him against a Mexican on an indie show is good enough. On a channel that has a lot of Black Terry videos, that works for me. And the Puma match I wanted to see. Cole Icon just, I'm revealing DMs, so just breaking all sorts of rules, but Cole Icon just asked me, was this show good? Yes. I'm going to tell him yes.
Somewhat,
yeah. I'm going to tell him it was okay. Let's see how this goes.
There's also a couple PWG shows this weekend where there's going to be some big matches with the Mexican guys.
Yes, that four-way was Horace.
Not a four-way anymore.
Oh, yeah, because they changed it. What's the match then?
Now it's just Flamito versus Horace versus Sammy, and then Pentagon or Pena Zero Miedo and Phoenix are defending their tag team titles against the Chosen Brothers.
Yeah, which would be good.
I would predict that. I think that's going to be a title change. I just have a slight feeling about that. No inside info. I'm just guessing that.
Yeah.
And something else going on this week. Oh, the Mexa Wrestling show is this weekend, and on paper, that looks like an amazing lineup.
Yeah.
That's the one in San Juan, Patlitlan. And I'm just telling you in advance, it's going to draw terribly. There may be just like, remember that show that happened in Naucalpan 2 weeks ago that drew like 20 people?
Yeah.
Okay, this show might have that exact number, or maybe 10 or 20 more, maybe just double that. But it's going to be terrible. They're doing a terrible job advertising.
I have not seen a word about it since it was all the matches were announced like last month.
Nothing. They are just relying on Facebook. You know how when Cara Lucha runs the building, or really when anybody runs the building, there's like the giant poster on the outside of the building?
Yeah.
They're not even doing that.
Yeah, that's not.
So you have. If you even live in the area, you have no idea that that show is happening unless you're on their Facebook, or once a week, I think Mas Lucha sends out a tweet about the show.
Yeah. See,
that is the extent.
Our friend Adam at Powerbomb TV said that today that, or this week, that he wanted to do a show in Mexico live stream on IPPV. And I think the doing the show in Mexico is clearly not something hard to do, because whoever's doing this show does not really know what they're doing, but they will assign a lot of important people. It's the streaming that's going to be a problem for him. But I think he accomplished this, because there's just these all these random shows that no one promotes and no one's like, much less takes a video of it or tries to sell it somehow. And it happens, and they're all very strange.
It's quite the mess. Let's just put it that way. And also,
Back to the Legend of the Plata. Do you think they're going any place with the Crisco, with Voldor attacking Crisco and Mexico being on the side, or do you think this is a one-off that's going to go back to normal in about a week or so?
I think it's being done to freshen up the Relevos Increíbles matches that CMLL this year has decided to start doing on basically every show. So I think this will give them a chance to just have Volador and Caristico on opposite teams. And also, I know that behind the scenes, they Rush and Mystico and Dragon Lee have really, really been pushing that they want to be a regular team. And this would give them the chance to do that without disrupting the booking, right?
Right.
Because if they could somehow get Mystico into a Rudo slot on the side with his brother, but still being booked as a Técnico, because they call it a Relevos Increíbles match, just because CML, this is how CML works. Don't ask me to explain it. But I think this is a way just to freshen it up, because as you can see, I mean, they're running like a Relevos Increíbles match. I think I saw it listed for next Tuesday in Arena Mexico. And there's no Relevos Increíbles. It's just the Peste Negra against Rush, Pierrot, and Cranio.
Well, yeah, so Rush is the Técnico half the time in their minds, right? Even though it doesn't make any sense.
Because on the booking sheets, I guess he's still listed as a Técnico. But...
yeah.
So it's just a big, giant mess, and I'm thinking this is a way to cross-correct it, and I do think it's going to continue after this, because Volador and Caristico really like it. And I think Dr. Lucha said this on the podcast on Wrestling Observer Live on Monday or Tuesday, whichever day he was on, and it's true. I don't know if it's this guy specifically, but I know a couple of the top stars in Mexico, once they found out what Dr. Wagner Jr. got paid for his mask, they've kind of got it in their head like, wow, is that money really available? Can we make this happen somehow? Maybe it's time for me to cash in. And I could totally see Volador and Caristico pushing, and Mystico pushing this feud for the future, for something to happen next year, and they're planting the seeds now.
Yeah.
What about you?
I just because CML teases things, and then they leave them in the back of our head for 10 months, like they're going to that match, and then they never actually, and then we get Nia Bola or whoever's Gran Guerrero inside. I just feel like this may be a short-term thing to get us through to, yeah, my phone's ringing, so I'm wondering what the clips are doing. Be a short-term thing to get us through the Dia de los Muertos shows. And then
you're winning 3-2.
And then it's going to go back to normal, and there's going to be friends, and just a cool, and Voldor's going to make the occasional sniping comment about Caristico, because it's clear Voldor really just does not like Caristico and really feels like Caristico backstabbed them by leaving. But yeah. But I don't think they're going to pay off that match like we would hope they would.
I do think that Caristico is winning this Friday, by the way.
You do? Yeah, because Voldor won the Universal and they balance out the win, so that would kind of make sense.
Exactly. I think that Caristico is going to win his fourth Leyenda de Plata. And I'm sure Volador will get his win back again at some point in the future, but I think this one seems like it's destined for Caristico to win, and he hasn't won anything ever since he's come back to CMLL.
He won there's one tournament he won. It was the Incredible Paris tournament or something, because I was on him about that. No, it was the Grand Alternative with Soberano.
Yeah, because that was more for Soberano than it was for Caristico.
Yeah, but they at least stapled him as partner. So, yeah, that's interesting, because they both do have their wins. So it's not like one person hasn't won all year, but Volador has the most recent and the bigger one. So, I mean, if you ever wanted to run a big angle to get people interested, that would be the match to be running the big angle. But I just don't know they have it in them. I don't know they have that in them to care. I mean, they ran this. Apparently, they ran a press conference tonight, and the only thing they did was announce the shows that they were announced. So I'm not really sure what CML following through.
That was the strangest thing. They ran it while we were talking. They did a night press conference of all things, and. All I saw was the tweet about the pictures with the Dia de Muertos stuff. Apollo didn't tweet anything, so I'm assuming they didn't announce anything worthwhile.
No, it doesn't sound that way. I mean, you thought, you know, you have a tournament for a heavyweight title, you have a big match on Friday, you could put all those over, but they're running they're promoting the shows a month from 2 weeks from now. So you can see where priorities are going to be.
Honestly, the biggest news in Mexico that we haven't talked about that is actually the biggest news is that The Crash is running like 15 dates in the span of 22 nights.
Yes, it's just an amazing number of shows that, I mean,
it's a solo tour is what it is, clearly.
Yeah, I would hope so, because there's way too many. I mean, we were talking about this on the Def Alley Driver Board. I was kind of a little bit worried that they're going to run themselves out of business because they're running so many shows, but they have to have a plan to be doing this many things.
Well, it wasn't a good sign that today I saw they put out that they're already discounting tickets for the first show in Guadalajara. They're down to like 50 pesos general admission if you buy it at the actual building in Guadalajara. But I'm pretty sure this is it's a sold tour just because all the foreign talent is basically sticking around. So that would have to be a sold tour, because otherwise they would only be coming in for a weekend or something. And all the talent, it seems to be like city to city to city to city. And then but they keep announcing more dates. Like I keep thinking the tour is ending on November 14th, then they announce the show on the 16th.
Yeah.
Then they announce November 30th. And I'm like, okay, so it finishes in November. Now they announce they're running December 3rd in Ecatepec. And I think December 4th in Arena Neza.
Yeah, I think they're just they're ending 15th or 16th, then they're taking 2 weeks off, and then they're running another one. And I think the challenging thing is that they don't have TV, and they don't have a big angle that they're making people to come see in every different location. They're doing dream matches everywhere. And if these stars are over, then maybe that'll work. But usually this feels like something that a Japanese group would do, but usually you have a whole direction for a tour that you're building towards some match. You're building to some tour-ending show, and you're building matches, and you're getting to see the match in that rivalry. And the Crash booking, it's just, we're going to toss. They're nice enough to change around the matches on each show, so it's worth seeing more than one show if you can. But it's also, it's not really there's no real direction. There's no real, I don't remember there's any title matches on the show. It just, their biggest show is one of the first shows in the tour when they're doing the show in Tijuana and having the Here match on that show. And then everything else is just kind of combinations.
And all the title matches are on that show.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. So it's not the most optimal way of doing it. And some places, it seems like, especially early on, they're either buying everyone's plane flight or they're taking really, really long bus drives across Mexico.
I would assume it's a bus tour, but the thing is, these lineups are awesome. I will say that. Like every night there's at least one or two matches that you're dying to see. And as the tour goes on and they go to these different places, like for example, in Naucalpan, they're doing a 4-on-4 match with some of the local guys that is going to be just fucking insane.
Yeah.
And then one of the other shows, I think it's the one in Salamanca, they're using like some of the Generation XXI guys.
Yeah. They're partnering a lot with local promotions on some of these shows, which is going to help them out.
And there's almost everyone, I think just the Monterrey one and maybe Monterrey and Querétaro are the two shows where there's no singles match, but every other stop they're doing, like they've got a Daga Keith Lee match, they've got a Flamita versus Sammy Guevara match, they've got, there's another singles match I can't think of right now, but everybody's basically, it's spread out in a way where everybody's going to get a chance to shine at least one place.
Yeah.
So you're not just like, it's not the typical touring group where you just take the same show to every city. This is going to be different shows, and they've got one night they've got like the Flyers against the big guys, another night they've got a match with all the big guys in the same match. So the matchmaking is excellent from that standpoint, I will say that. And I'm very excited because I'm going, obviously, and I don't know if you want to reveal it. Do you want to reveal it?
Oh yeah, because I actually got the vacation, the time approved that we're both going back to Mexico in November, and we're going to some of these shows.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited. I'm going to make Cubs excited, whether he's excited or not.
Yeah.
But the plan is to hit up at least 3 Crash shows, I think, right?
Yeah, definitely Monterrey, 3.
Yeah, 3. Monterrey, Querétaro, and Naucalpan. And we're going to go see one of we're not going to see the Dia de Muertos show, but we're going to be at one of the Friday Arena Mexico shows. We're going to see Riot. And we just found out the other day we're going to see our first ever XMW show, which should definitely be a thing.
Yeah, if you need anything from me, you should get it from me before that XMW show, because I don't know if I'll make it out of that one alive. So, if you need, you just got to keep that in mind. If there's anything you've been waiting for me to do, just make sure you get it locked in time.
And I'm not sure if you saw, I didn't send you the link. I wonder if Alan did, but he found an 11 a.m. show that same day on Sunday. Did you see?
No, that's just gonna this is gonna be the longest day. It's good. That day looks like it's gonna be the last full day in Mexico, and we're just gonna go to crazy shows, and I'm gonna be tired already because we're gonna have gone to, we're gonna be wherever that crash show ends, in Copan late that night, and then we're gonna go to two more shows the next day, I'm sure, and then get out of town. So I'll be plenty tired by then.
And Alfredo was promising a trip to Arena Jaguar after the Crash Monterey show the previous Sunday. So this is definitely going to be the most the trip where we're most doing the most traveling, because we're going to hit up Querétaro and we're going to hit up not Toluca, we're hitting up Metepec, because for some reason nobody's running Toluca anymore. Which probably is a story that we'll deal with at some point, but right now we're definitely going to do Metepec because it's not a far trip at all. The Querétaro trip is going to be like a 3-hour trip, and we're probably going to have to stay overnight. So
So
that's the one difference on this trip.
the three ones are safe bets are the Monterey one, the Metepec, and the Naucalpan one, as long as we get tickets, and that really should be a problem. The Querétaro one is the one that's going to be the tougher one to do, but it sounds better than it's going to be a long trip, but it's an interesting card, and it's probably more interesting card than whatever CML will put out on a Tuesday.
Well, the Tuesday is going to be the Day of the Dead show, so technically we could do that. But I watched some of the Tuesday show from last night, and it made me want to end my own life. So I do not want to experience. I'm fine watching it for free, but to pay for something like that, to show up to see Astral and Nitro working a second match on a show, just killing my will to live. I don't know if I want to do that.
It depends on what title match, if anything, they had. It's that's really up in the air since they're just doing the Barbaro, Cavernaro, Nia Bolaroja match next week. They really only have a 1 week build, and they ain't saying anything else up. So if they may just throw nothing out there and just expect that the pageantry does it, and maybe it will for some people, but that would not be the most exciting thing to see.
The ideal scenario would be we only go to the Friday CMLL show, and on that show they do the, if they're doing it, they do the Casas versus Sam Adonis hair match, and on the underneath we get a chance to see the Micros, because I really want to see the Micros live.
See, are we sure we'd be able to see that? Because I think that's happening. I have to look at the dates again, but I think that's happening the Friday before we go.
What is?
The hair match.
I don't think they would put that on a Day of the Dead show, because that really doesn't fit with the format.
I think they might, because I think they just want those shows to be bigger shows, and they'll throw everything at them.
I mean, we'll see, but
I
I
mean,
feel like
we'll know probably this Friday, because if they're going to do it in 2 weeks away, then they're going to have to make it very clear on the Friday show.
at least challenges.
Yeah.
So that is our plan. The only other show we didn't mention is we're hoping that we're going to go to a Wednesday show at Arena Naucalpan on one of the IWRG rookie shows. But even that, we don't know, and we probably won't know until the week of the show, because with the crash running on Saturday in Naucalpan, usually they cancel the Wednesday show. But I'm thinking, would they run a Sunday show in Naucalpan? Even though, I mean, they wouldn't run a Sunday show if they were running the day before, right?
It probably wouldn't, but that just doesn't happen that much, so there's no way of telling.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they will run the Wednesday. I'm hoping so. I know I was talking to Noriko, and Noriko was saying they probably are going to run, but it's too far out to know. I mean, it's Mexico. We'll have to wait. Just
They
like when
did.
we wait for CML lineups, we'll have to wait till the week of.
When they ran the Friday show for the Triple X case promotion, they did run the Sunday that week, but they
But
don't
that was
run.
Friday.
Yeah, so Saturday might
And
be the rest.
that was also a show with no advertising, whereas the crash is going to pack the place.
The only other Saturday show they've run was that free noon show for the Llave finals. So,
Yeah, so it's unprecedented right now.
yeah. Go back to last year and see.
Well, we'll see, but we're looking forward to it. It's going to be an exciting trip. It's going to be a very jam-packed trip, because we're both not arriving until Saturday, and then we're going to be basically out of there 8, 9 days later, and it's just going to be a lot packed into a short time. So
I have to, yeah, you're going to wear me out. I'm going to die. I have to think if I'm going, because AAW was running LaSalle, but running LaSalle on the Friday instead of Saturday. So technically, I could go to that show too. But I think I just would die if I did all those shows.
well, see, yeah, I mean, I'm taking the overnight flight. We're both gonna arrive about the same time on Saturday, but I'm taking the overnight flight just because I didn't feel like waking up so early in the morning and rushing to the airport on a Saturday.
Yeah, that's not what I'm not looking for that. I'm not looking for what I have to do with my car or if I'm taking an Uber all the way there or what I have to do. So I've plenty of things to figure out and I haven't booked everything, but it's definitely happening.
Well, that's one thing that they need to figure out, because on that day, November 3rd, I mean, Phoenix has been announced for both AEW and the Crash. So
yeah,
someone's going to have to figure something out.
Yeah, someone's going to be disappointed, and it's probably going to be Ray Phoenix, who's probably going to have disappointed somebody.
Well, but that's the thing. That's why they should clear it up now, so nobody's disappointed.
Yeah.
Anyways, I should probably let you go, because it looks like there's a lot of drama in this baseball game that I've got on the TV.
Oh, I don't want to watch. Yeah, you're going to let me go, and then I'm going to be very sad. So I'm not sure what you're going to want.
You guys are still winning, but either your coach just got kicked out or something got reversed, and he's really angry.
Yeah, that's a very I'm seeing the capturing. Wow, that's a very bad decision. That's not a good sign.
I don't understand baseball, apparently, because yesterday there was like some hit, and then there were two guys on third base, and one of them should have been out, but then they just sent him back to second.
Yeah, that was I've never seen that before, because if you put your arm up when the ball goes in the IV, that means dead play, just take two bases because I can get it. But if you reach your hand in, that means the ball's live. I've never seen someone reach their hand in and raise their arm at the same time. But I guess they said that ball wins out.
He never looked like he gave up on the play. That was when I was watching. I'm like, it looks like he's going for the ball, so how could it be a dead play? But whatever.
Yeah, doesn't make any sense.
But, so I hope you guys enjoyed the podcast, if you're still listening at this point. And I can't wait to rewatch this episode of Lucha Underground.
Yeah. I'm going to probably do that tomorrow. I think it's a better idea than watching the Tuesday show by the sound of it.
Yes.
Do you have anything you want to say about the AAA taping this Friday? Do you know there's a AAA taping this Friday?
I legitimately had... Oh, the Metepec one.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny, huh? We were just talking about that too. No, there's literally nothing I want to say about AAA. I saw the... Did you see the... You're usually behind. You haven't seen the Japan show, have you?
No, because I watched the Pueblo Inside, and that was my mistake.
That was a big mistake. Yes. I skimmed the...
You people told me to watch the openers because they were so bad. They were bad, but they were just more boring. I should have just fast-forward and not listen to you people. Dorada fan, Cold Icon.
Yeah, don't blame me. That's definitely that. I mean,
they were terrible.
They were just boring. I mean, they're not worth spending time to watch live. You've got to like watch on a delay and skim through those. But the Japan shows, it was interesting. They showed the highlights. They showed two full matches from the first night. Do you know which ones?
The Vampiro one?
Yes.
Of course.
And Drago versus Cuerno.
I think they were the last two matches, if I remember right. No, it was the tag match with the Noah guys. That was the second to last one.
So I don't know. And then they showed the full show from – no, they didn't show the full show from Corakland, because they took out the sixth person with the women and all that.
Yeah.
And they definitely edited, too, because the match times weren't adding up with how much actual aired. But
yeah, Corno versus Drago was the second semi-main, so that does make sense. They just took the top two.
The best match on the Korakuen Hall show was the Aerostar and Drago versus DJZ and Andrew Everett match. They did basically just nonstop flying. Aerostar had like one slip up on the ropes, but the rest of the time he was just amazing in that match. DJZ and Andrew, actually, I thought they looked better than the Mexicans. They looked amazing. DJZ is just such an amazing talent. Like, can't wait for him to break out in bigger places. And the attendance looked awful. Yeah. Vampiro looked awful. The Quiet Storm match, I forget who Quiet Storm's partner was.
Like Cody Hall.
Okay, they were against Pagano and Psycho Clown, and just atrocious, atrocious.
You know, Cody Hall and Vinny are enemies on Twitter. So,
is that true?
Yeah, so you're going to Vinny on this.
Well, I'm not blaming him. I'm blaming everybody in that match.
Okay.
It was just a total mess. And it was not a good show. It definitely, like, if you watch this show and then you watch Fantastica Mania, I mean, it's like night and day. This show was just total lack of heat for everything. The Psycho Clown was, like, so charismatic and trying desperately to get the crowd to do anything with him. But the crowd definitely didn't seem like they were enjoying themselves with the show they were watching. And Helico versus Cuerno, I mean, I hate to say it, but it wasn't very good. I mean, I know Angelico is working injured, so he's limited in what he can do. But it was no heat, and they went a short time, and it just, I don't know, it wasn't good. And I mean, I don't want to start controversy or anything, but you know, at the end of the show, they do the group photo where they invite everybody into the ring?
Yeah.
No Angelico.
That's weird.
He was the only one that, maybe I didn't see him and he was in the back, but I looked like three or four times and I never saw him anywhere. So I don't know whether the deal was there.
He might have, if he was working injured, he might have just had something he needed to take care of instead of being out there. But
yeah, it's possible. But usually that group photo, I mean, everybody goes out there for that one. So that
yeah. A little weird. So did how? Because I only saw the bleacher side. Was the other side just as about as empty?
Empty. Everywhere was empty. It was.
So you don't think it was 873 that they advertised that they said it was?
There's no way it was. I mean, I'd be shocked if it was over 500. Shocked.
Okay.
There was nobody standing up at the top. There was nothing. It was just so depressing to watch.
I hope Victoria, whoever paid for it, got the money's worth. It seemed like it was going to be a bad idea, and it turned out to be a bad idea. And
it's going to be a worse idea if they come to the States next year.
Yeah. Unless they ran it as part of WrestleMania weekend, and then maybe they could draw a decent amount of people. But even then, the other things would be bigger. They have a lot of work to do if they want to run in the U.S., and I don't think they really did enough work, it seemed like, for Japan, and they do not have a good U.S. name right now. So, I mean, whatever they drew in Japan, they drew 20 times that in Mexico last year. So I don't understand why they leave Mexico, but that's the deal.
I mean, that's a question for people much higher than our pay grade.
Yeah. Okay. This is like an hour 40 minutes, like hour 40 minutes is what we go with all the podcasts. So I think if you have nothing else to say, we should probably wrap it up.
No, I'm good.
Okay. Thanks everyone for listening. I don't know if we're going to do another podcast before we go to Mexico, but we'll probably do stuff there. I have some ideas of stuff I want to do, but we'll have to see if any of it works out or if I know what I'm doing. But we'll definitely have more content coming during November. Maybe less Puebla and CML Tuesday reviews, but we'll try to make up for it somehow. Thanks for coming on, Rob, and thanks everyone for listening, and we will talk to you again soon.